This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
All right, Michael, the Dirty 30's over, but the Rockies keep winning, and that's exciting. Last night was really, really fun. Really fun. And I know, they're at the bottom of the basement. But there's something. There's something about this team. NBA draft is tonight. What will the Denver Nuggets do? Also, we're getting back to the poll question of the day. By the end of the season, will Bo Nix be a top five quarterback in the National Football League? Stuff on the Colorado State Rams. Spencer Smith going to join us. Clip of the day. It's going to be a fun Tuesday, Michael. The whole show starts right now. Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. The Rockies. Okay, so they're down 2-0 going into the bottom of the ninth. The Rockies are, and a little Jake McCarthy magic. And first off, they singled their way all the way to load up the bases on a hell of a closer in Chapman. And then we get the Jake McCarthy magic that ends the game.
Jake, yes. This is going to tie it up. The trail runners carry. He's going to score. The Rockies win it. How do I like that?
That was awesome. That was awesome, man.
Sounds like there weren't as many Red Sox fans as, or the Red Sox were cheering.
Well, Red Sox, that was, and they're really, like, Red Sox fans on X are losing their minds today because nobody wants to lose to the Rockies. Nobody wants to, even though the Red Sox record is very similar to the Rockies right now, nobody wants to lose to the Rockies. And I am seeing a little more purple in those stands as of late, Mike.
It's not just people choking themselves because the Rockies are, get it. You turn purple before you die.
Mm-hmm. Is that it? Is that the one you're going to do for the day? Let's make sure. You know what? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Get them out of your head now because I got a busy show. I don't have time. But if you want to do it, load them up right now, Mike. You got 28 seconds. Go.
Look, I'll just say that wasn't the best, the most well-executed pun.
It was not most well. It was not the most well-executed.
It was good. The idea of it was there. Why are the Rockies purple all the time? Because they're always choking.
Yep. And we're done. So now we move on to serious talk for the rest of the show. Don't even crack a smile, Michael. There it is. See? I got you to smile. I told you I would. There's something with this team. I get it. You want to look at it and do the whole sell the team, Dick, and Dick Monfort doesn't know what he's doing, and the Rockies don't know what they're doing. You want to, Warren Schaefer doesn't have a clue. There's a different feel. And we did this. We came up with this wonderful campaign, 100% on us, the hashtag Dirty 30. It's our thing. We founded it. And that was achieved a lot faster than it was last year. That's just one note. But, Michael, listen to the stat. The Boston Red Sox, with a two or more run lead going into the ninth inning. Are you hearing me on this? With a two or more run lead going into the ninth inning, in the last 132 games, they were 132-0.
With a
two-run or more lead going into the ninth inning. And the Rockies ended it. Now, Boston's not good. I get it. But you got Chapman, who's pretty damn good. And the Rockies find a way. It was really exciting to see this. And I, for one, am just and just having fun. You know, they hit a lot of singles. Like, what was it, 8 singles in a row? Because it started back into the 8th. You had Julianne single to center, Moniak single to right, Castro single to center, Freeman singled to right, if I can say it. Rumfield had a single to left. Goodman had a single to left. Carrick reached on a bunt, single to third, which that bunt, according to the broadcast, might have been Cole Carrick just saying, I'm seeing where the third baseman is lined up. I've decided at this very moment to bunt it. This is a rookie that makes that decision. He bunts it, and then bippity-boppity, you have the bases loaded. And Jake McCarthy, on that play and also on the play of the rookies on this team, here's what he had to say about last night.
Just trying to put it in play. Obviously, I'm not trying to hit like a weak ground ball or anything, but in that situation, a fly out, you know, anything but a strikeout or like a right out of double play ball. So, just looking for a good pitch to hit. Kind of took that fastball out of the glove, and luckily it stayed fair. Sometimes with the way they play, I didn't know if that was going to be a single, double. I didn't know how many runs were going to score, and I saw it rattle around. So, that was pretty crazy.
Jake, describe for us the emotion, what it must feel like when you do hit a walk-off like that in an improbable victory and the crowd's going absolutely crazy. What does it feel like?
Yeah, that was surreal. It still really hasn't sunk in. Obviously, off a great pitcher like that, it all happened pretty fast. I just want to give a lot of credit to my teammates. You saw the inning before. What was it, 5 straight line drives off a good pitcher. And then, Rumfield standing on a slider when a guy's throwing 101 miles an hour. Goody, Care getting the bunt down. Those are, two of them are rookies, right? It's like those are really poised at bats, getting the job done. And I just think if they roll over and die, I don't even get them at bat that inning. So a lot of credit to the rest of the lineup.
Yeah, that was awesome. And it's just there's a feel to this team, a togetherness feel. And I don't know what is going to happen ultimately this season. 31-48, that's not anything to be excited about. But compared to where they were last year, it's an improvement. And I know, it's still the Rockies. We're not going to spend a ton of time on it. But for being summer, for being June 22nd last night watching this game, give me a reason to root for this team. I mean, everybody's writing them off all the time, and everybody assumed it's 2-0, Rockies are going to lose that game. I don't know, once Rumfield got that single, I kind of thought maybe this is going to pop. And then, sure enough, Goodman got a single. I kind of thought Goodman might hit a home run, honestly, and then we'd have the tie game. And then what was the outfielder doing on that triple, McCarthy? He could not gather the ball. I picture Michael Easter egg hunting.
Did they give him an Easter egg?
An error?
You know what? I'm just going to shut my mouth. That wasn't supposed to be a pun there. I was supposed to say something intelligent.
You heard me say Easter egg. That was me saying, like, hey, that reminds me of what you would look like, out on an Easter egg hunt. I can't pick it up. I can't get it. Oh, come here, you. And it starts rolling down the grass a little bit. Come here, buddy.
And I can't bend over because my back hurts.
You're just having a hard time.
Get on my knees.
Can't get
it
in the basket. And that was kind of the case. So I thought for sure we're going to tie this game. We're going to have extra innings. But outfielder can't pick up the ball. And so we get a triple out of the deal. And everybody scored. Rumfield scored. Goodman scored. And Carrick scored. Cannot stress enough how scientific, how cool that bunt by Cole Carrick. I don't like bunts, for the record. I don't like them. But when they are executed to perfection, they're sexy as hell. And that's what Cole Carrick did. He's a ball player, man. You got a cut. No dogs. There's no dogs on this team. Like, I'm not saying that. But you just got heady dudes. You got a couple of ball players out there that understand situations. Like, I know Tanner and Bruce were talking about Tovar yesterday. He's whatever, young, I get it. But lately, I don't look at him and say, that's a ball player that gets the situation. Cole Carrick, as a rookie, understands the assignment. And the Rockies get it done. 3-2 over Boston. And we're one game past the Dirty 30, 31-48.
Should the Rockies trade TJ Rumsfeld?
Should they? Who? TJ Rumsfeld?
Yeah, Rumsfeld.
No, he's your rookie. You're not going to trade. Don't trade your rookies.
I was going to say because the rum's always gone.
Stop. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to use your brain here. Contribute to the conversation. Just try. Try to contribute to the conversation in a way that's not stupid.
I hope it doesn't rain tonight or tomorrow. In Greeley, yes, in Denver, avoid.
How is that contributing to the conversation? Because, okay, you hope it doesn't rain so it doesn't cancel, postpone the game. Okay, yes. But how is that contributing to what we saw last night or the future of this young Rockies team? How is anything that you've done in the last 20 seconds contributing to what the future looks like for the Colorado Rockies?
I mean, technically saying the rum's always gone, trading TJ Rumsfeld, but that is about the future of the Rockies.
That doesn't work because the rum isn't always gone because it's literally not gone. So how can it be always gone? Rumfield is still a Rocky, so that doesn't work, Mike.
Well, yeah, I thought they would trade him because the rum's always gone.
Yes.
Rum.
Travis, the new guy, as soon as you told him not to say something stupid, he found one of the more stupid things to say. Gotta love you, Michael. And that does not mean they actually love you. That's a, oh, that little boy of ours. He's always up to something.
Dennis the Menace type?
Yeah, that type. I'm telling you, man.
Fight Christopher Lloyd.
I'm telling you, you are, for so many reasons, you are Bill Murray and I am Richard Dreyfuss. The only difference in, because that movie, What About Bob? The only difference is at the end of the movie, the alternate ending is that everybody realizes Bob is actually not a cool guy at all. And Richard Dreyfuss was right all along. That's the ending of What About Bob? So that you and I are very much that relationship, save for the last like 20 minutes of the movie. Instead of everyone coming together and Richard Dreyfuss is like, oh, finally give in. No, it's everyone else going, dude, we're sorry, man. We're sorry. You had to deal with that. That's tough. That's a tough look there.
I have an alternate one. I'm Bill Murray in Ghostbusters because I drive the car that is this show. And you are the ghost that ectoplasms everyone.
You're the remake of Ghostbusters.
Oh,
with the all-female cast.
That's a low blow.
You're the remake of that.
Which one? The first one?
And I'm not saying I don't like all-female casts of any kind of movie, but you can't remake a movie with an all-male cast and turn it into Ghostbusters 2. This is not how it works. It's like saying we're going to make Bridesmaids 2, but it's going to be about the grooms or whatever, the groomsmen. You can't do it. It doesn't work. You're that. You're a remake of Ghostbusters. You're the remake of Ghostbusters.
Which one?
The remake of it.
Remake or was the last few were those sequels? I don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't watch it because I heard
either.
It was terrible. They tried to put Thor in it, and that wasn't probably good. So, yes, that's how it is.
That's because Thor doesn't actually exist in real life.
The hour. I don't know his name. I'm not like you. I don't sit in front of the TV and watch Spider-Man movies in my pajamas eating cereal every morning with my legs crossed in front of the TV. I'm not like that with, you know, I'm not you. I don't sit there and watch superhero movies all the time. I don't know the names of these people. I know TJ Rumfield. I know Cole Carrick.
Thor only met Spider-Man once, so he wasn't in the Spider-Man movie. So saying that I watch Spider-Man movies, it just doesn't make sense.
But you watch movies like that.
I do watch movies, yes.
Yeah, you watch movies like that.
I do, but it's like Thor's never been in the Spider-Man movie.
They're not the same universe.
Is that why? Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't do what?
I know what you're...
So the Rockies, you think Thor's been in the Rockies before?
So much. Aaron, how could all the rum be gone if there's a field of it? Says Aaron. Yeah.
Drunk Rockies? They're all drunk on rum?
Well, there's a field. Rumfield's singling all over the place, man. How could it be gone? He's still here.
I like that one better than mine.
Oh, yours was... It doesn't even work. It doesn't apply. You can't say, why is the Rumfield gone? Because he's not gone.
No, I was saying, why aren't they trading him? Because the rum's always gone. You would make him gone... to a different team?
Honestly, I don't have anything to say to that. I'm just trying to fill the silence because we will just go off air if I'm quiet for too long. So I'm just trying to fill the silence in between the darkness.
I mean, I could fill the silence for you if you want.
Okay. That is one demerit.
Yeah.
One
demerit
strike.
Thomas.
Yeah. That's two now.
A new rule. You get two a day. You get two a day, you better make them good.
As your co-host...
Not co-host, barely producer.
As your co-host, I deserve more than two a day.
You know you're not co-host. You know that, right? I need you to say it. I need you to say it out loud. You know co-host. You're not the co-host. Michael, buddy, I love you, man.
Tanner, not the co-host.
I need you to say it. You're not the co-host. You're barely... do we even say producer?
Co-host.
Good, bad, the ugly. Can we get to that? The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. The good, not Michael. The bad, Michael. The ugly, Michael. That ends it. I had a plan for it, but that's where it went today.
So you have no real the good, the bad, the ugly?
No, I do, actually. I was going to say McCarthy. The bad... The bad for me is the predicament that the Nuggets find themselves in tonight. Whether they take advantage of their 26th pick in the NBA draft or they trade. Either way you slice it, what we saw, and I'll get to that with top stories, what we saw yesterday with all these trades happening and Giannis going to Miami, that's not the fate of the Nuggets, man. If you're sitting around, I know we had a lot of texters saying, why can't they go get Giannis? The Nuggets are not going to get these guys. The best they can hope for is to clear enough room, which they don't necessarily have to, but they want to, is to clear enough room to re-sign Peyton Watson. And is that the move? And I find that predicament kind of sketchy. The ugly is actually non-sports related. I hear we're supposed to be in for some very nasty weather later on today. Not just rain, Michael, but hail and maybe even chances of tornadoes. So just be careful out there, man.
That's hail the ugly. Storm.
That's the ugly. Thanks to FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. All right, Michael, coming up next, we're going to talk a little local story. You know, Sean Keeler put this one out about... Wyndham Clark, the U.S. Open champ. He went to a Valor Christian. He's a Denver hero, but he's kind of known as the bad guy in the golf circles, and I'm not really in those golf circles, but I did enjoy Keeler's read because local stories are usually king for me here on the whole show. 23 minutes after the hour. Also, Bo Nix, is he a top five quarterback by the time the season ends? I saw Troy Rank's story in the Denver Post. Bo Nix is going to excel because he doesn't care what you think.
I don't.
Okay. 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 All right.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. I like what Sean Keeler had to say, his headline about Wyndham Clark, Wyndham Clark winning the U.S. Open. Valor Christian's Wyndham Clark, U.S. Open champ and golf's so-called villain, is a hero to this Denver family. Would one of the PGA's so-called scoundrels go out of his way to comfort a distraught teen while she watched her mother fade away? So Sean goes into depth here. I strongly encourage you read this, available at the Denver Post. First paragraph here is, bad guys don't hug. Would a villain go out of his way to comfort a distraught teen while she watched her mother fade away? Would one of the PGA's so-called scoundrels, his schedule crammed like weekend traffic on I-70, willingly offer up a free shoulder to cry on? Jeff Higgins told Sean Keeler by phone on Monday from DIA before he headed out on a business trip. He said, the support they gave us, how are the girls doing, offering to come and talk for a while with us. His actions to us were way more compassionate than any of these narratives that were there out in the world about him. He's been great, super gracious. It's a very interesting story, and I want you guys to check it out. But he outlines kind of the background of this. The Wyndham Clark that Jeff knows is a cool dude carrying around his bag, broken heart. 2 years ago, the U.S. champ reached out to his daughter, Brenna, then a superb golfer at Valor Christian, his alma mater. Brenna's mom, Kim, had been diagnosed with cancer in 2023. The doctors initially gave her 3 months. She fought for 15 more anyway. Iron to the last. Kim eventually succumbed in November 24 at the too young age of 55. And Clark took it upon himself to reach out to her, the family, and just lend a hand, you know, just a shoulder to lean on. Because again, golfers, you know, they're going through stuff, whatever. I just thought this was a fascinating read, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that with Sean Keeler tomorrow. But I always love the local stories. And again, we always have an image in our minds of villains in sports, and I think that's all well and fun. But at the end of the day, there are some really special things going on with some of these guys, and I think this is one of them. Check it out at thedenverpost.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, Bo Nix, how confident are, like, seriously, how confident are you? I'm not asking if you don't think you, the Broncos could very well play in your little fantasy land where you're the little leprechaun running around and the Broncos go undefeated and then they win the Super Bowl. That can all still stand in this little scenario we're pointing out. In that scenario, does that mean Bo Nix for sure is going to become a top five? That's our poll question of the day. Top five quarterback by the end of the season. I've already had some saying, Brady, he already is a top five. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Brady, he already is the top five. And he's going to be number one. They just got him a brand new weapon. We have a new offensive coordinator.
My gosh.
I'm stoked for this
17-0
Super Bowl.
So he's already a top five?
He will be top five.
No, but
not
some are
one.
Saying he's already a top five.
In theory.
He ain't better than Matt Stafford. At this point, he's not better than Sam Darnold. He's not better than Caleb Williams. He's not better than Mahomes. He's not better than Josh Allen. I don't think he's better than Jalen Hurts.
This last year's playoffs would disagree with you on the Josh Allen thing.
Because Josh Allen ran into the best defense in the league. That's the best defense. The Broncos' defense was better than Josh Allen for one day. I'll give you that.
That made me happy.
Yeah. Why? What? Help me out here. Why? What is it in my mind that is keeping me from getting on that wagon 100%.
It's his ankle.
No.
As you've been overreacting.
It wasn't the ankle. It wasn't the ankle. And it still isn't the ankle.
Is it the receivers? Or is it the fact that, like, oh, I can't get it downfield, I'll just dump it off?
I think some of this, and I read this interesting note from Troy Rank in the Post, and I respect and love Troy. The headline was interesting, like, Bo Nix doesn't care what you have to say. The headline said, Broncos Bo Nix will be great because he does not care what you think. Okay, that's not any reason to be.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with
you
it.
Don't, like, you don't care what I think, and you're not necessarily great. So
I'm awesome. Bo Nix. I'm amazing. Look, it doesn't matter if he cares what people think or not. It's what you do on the field, and what he's going to do on the field is going to be great.
He was 33rd out of 45 in success rate against zone defenses last year, meaning he has had a hard time finding those soft spots in the zone, sitting back in the pocket and trying to pick apart a defense. His best action is when he is in action, when he is on the move. He goes through progression 1, 2, and go. And that's all well and good. Hard way to survive on a weekly basis. We see, first off, just the physicality part of it. You're more prone to injuries that way. But also, it's difficult to keep that up, you know, throughout an entire game without being utterly exhausted.
Yeah, I would actually really like to see him run the ball less. That you have a good offensive line. This is a good offensive line, even if they play some of the better defenses, and they will be playing some good defenses this year. This is a good line. You don't have to panic. There were times where he felt like he panicked. He panicked, and it's like, oh, I have to get outside the pocket. No, the pocket's fine. Step up into it.
He does. Sometimes he does. When he can step up into that pocket, man, he can really make some good throws. And he has made good throws. I am not saying I'm out on Bo Nix. I think a lot of people misconstrue that. Do I think he could very well go on and play the next 7 years for the Broncos and be their franchise quarterback and have his opportunities to play in be in the playoffs and to maybe go deep and maybe even win a Super Bowl? Yes, I do. I've seen lesser quarterbacks win Super Bowls. You have too, Mike.
Yeah. Baltimore Ravens, anyone?
Joe Flacco?
No, I'm talking about their first Super Bowl.
Trent Dilfer? Yeah.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer and Tony Banks.
But even like, you know, you got Nick Foles who won a Super Bowl. Like, I don't buy into this whole idea that you have to have an elite quarterback. I think the Broncos actually have a pretty good recipe to win a Super Bowl this year. I think that schedule's going to be tough. Just get into the playoffs and let that defense work in the playoffs for you. I think a healthy J.K. Dobbins makes a difference. I think a Jaylen Waddle, that guy can drag across the field and you could throw it to him. You know, just lead him a little bit and he can go make plays. So I think their recipe is actually set up. I could very well see in one portion of my brain, I could very well see the Broncos winning a Super Bowl. But Bo Nix has kind of an average-ish season. You know what I mean? Like, I could see that happening, and I could see that being kind of the tale of Bo Nix as a Broncos quarterback. He's going to give you electric moments from time and time again, and then he's going to give you the, you know, six touchdowns, six interceptions in first quarters of games like
he did
last year.
And that one against the Cowboys. Like, where was he looking? Broncos blew out the Cowboys, and it was glorious, but, like, where was he looking?
Yeah, right. There were just a few head-scratchers. And we are – I'm seeing reports today from local media that's like, national media needs to give Bo Nix more respect. National media is watching the same games I'm watching, and that is first quarter is numb. Second quarter, numb. Third quarter, still kind of numb. And then fourth quarter, boom. Not the same guy, but Tebow was a lot like that. Bo Nix can throw it. He's more – obviously, he's accurate. But that was a lot of how we lived in the Tebow days. I'm not comparing the two, just to be clear. I'm not comparing the two.
They're both nice people.
They're both nice people. But you cannot survive in this league with boring, boring, boring fireworks. You can do that a few times. You can even do that in the playoffs once in a while. You can't live off of it. You can't live off of it, Mike.
Yeah, because eventually your defense gets tired. And by the way, under Bo Nix and under Tim Tebow, elite defenses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
and
very
I think
helpful.
Defense with Tebow was good. Like this defense that we're seeing right now, partly because they stay healthy, is absolutely elite, yes.
And I would say this defense is better than Tebow's defense, but Tebow's defense counts as elite with how they were keeping the Broncos in games.
But this is
and
what
some of that
this
was luck.
This is my problem with Broncos country sometimes. Is because take me back to 2010. Was it 2010 when Tebow was the quarterback, or was it 2011? Either way, it doesn't matter. we watch the games. We all watch the games the same time. We see it. Three and out. Three and out. Tebow skipping rocks across the field. Can't hit an out route to save his life. He's completed like one pass in the first half. Yet, for some reason, it's 15 to nothing. This should be a blowout, but it's not. Defense comes up with stop after stop after stop after stop after stop. And then we get to the fourth quarter. Marion Barber, God rest his soul, fumbles the ball or steps out of bounds, stops the clock when they didn't. They all they had to do was stay in bounds. The game's going to run out. He steps out of bounds. Nick Kading, the kicker for the Chargers, is caught on camera urinating on the sidelines, goes out and misses a field goal. If you remember that. Rex Ryan's Jets played Tebow perfectly the entire game. All it is sit back in a zone and don't let him throw the ball. And for one reason, for some reason, when the Broncos were on the Jets like 35, Rex Ryan says, to hell with it, go get him. Blitzes everybody. And Tebow goes, bzip, rolls around it and runs in for a touchdown. There was a lot of that happening.
And by the way, I think it was Chris Harris Jr. had a pick six in that game.
Yeah, sure. But we forgot about it. Because as soon as the game was over, what did we hear in the crowd? Tebow. Tebow. Yeah, Tebow. Tebow did it again. Saturday Night Live even made a skit about it. And who was it? Matt Prater was the kicker. And they're like, the kicker should be the hero here. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys forgot about all of that, and you just thought of the fourth quarter. That's all that was in your mind. Was it epic? Was it amazing? Were the Tebow wins amazing? They were. John Elway said on a local podcast in Denver that Manning was the only guy he could get at quarterback to replace Tebow. Because anybody else...
he'd get in trouble.
The fans... certain fans were still kind of pissy about that. So, you guys want, I get it, you want a franchise quarterback so badly. And you want it to be a guy that you love. And Bo is that guy. He's got a personality like Tebow. He's a likable guy. He's a good guy. I'm just telling you that this idea that the national media should be giving him way more credit than he's deserved, no, I think it's about right. He's not a tier one quarterback. If he is a tier two quarterback, he's barely a tier two quarterback. And I don't know if I'm there yet. That doesn't mean I don't think the Broncos can win big this year. Will he be a top five quarterback by the time the season ends? You say it, but I hear it in your voice. You're agreeing with me on this more than you want to let it be known.
I just agree with you on Tebow. By the way, I went to that Jets game. It was
you disagree with
magical.
Me on Tebow or Bo?
I agree with you on Tebow.
Oh,
like the skipping rocks.
Right.
I went to the last game of the season. The Broncos lost 7-3.
Exciting game. But you agree with me on Bo. You don't want to admit it because you think that if you admit it, that somehow will hurt your undefeated prediction, and it will rock your Broncos world. But
I don't
deep
care
down, you agree with me. You know you do.
I honestly, I don't care how they win.
Right.
As long as they win.
I'm telling you,
they
could.
As long as there's a W there.
They could.
They could have, Bo could have five interceptions in every game and one touchdown, and the Broncos win 10-7, 10-3, 10-6.
They could be very much like a modern day, a current day Jalen Hurts. Bo could be, he's going to have his moments. He's going to have some really good moments, but he's also going to, he's going to sing you a lullaby. You're going to be bored. Even though he's a running quarterback and all that stuff, he's mobile, there's times where you're going to be bored watching this offense under Bo Nix at quarterback because it's going to be sporadic at times and they're going to be settling for three and outs and it's going to be gone.
But how much of it was play calling and how much of it was Bo? I think there's a certain portion of it that is play calling.
If Bo becomes elite and that's top five, tier one this year, then you say farewell to Davis Webb. Because he'll be a head coach next year. Because as much as local media wants to tell you that Bo Nix has arrived and he's that guy, it ain't true. Don't believe it. But if he becomes that guy this year and this offense is flowing much better, that's because Davis Webb has found a way to connect with Bo, because he was always his guy. He was a quarterback coach. He was working with him last year and stuff too, right? The last couple of years. But if he can really get the most out of him by designing and calling the proper plays within the proper times of a game that really speak to Bo Nix's talents and play off of those talents, then he'll be a head coach next year instantly.
And the Broncos have to have a plan. They have to have a plan for that, because Davis Webb will be gone because the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. But they have to have a plan. They have to know, okay, this is what Davis Webb is doing. This is what he's doing with Bo Nix. How do we get the next guy to do the same thing?
Jake, the geologist guy. Tebow, any way you look at it, always provided the fans with exciting football games. Yeah, exciting fourth quarters. Yeah, Tebow isn't a great throwing quarterback, but he had grit you don't see. Bo will be fine because his coach knows how to make him successful. Listen, Tebow is amazing. Tebow is an amazing human being. He's exciting to watch. I get it. But that was not a sustainable way to live. They were eight. Let's not forget, they were 8-8 that year.
Yeah, they were 8-5. They lost the last three games of the season because people figured out Bo.
Listen, yeah, he's not the same. They're not even close to the same.
Well, they both have Bo in there.
I'm comparing the fan base. And who didn't? Who was the fan base really divided on that was a good quarterback for the Broncos? Who?
They were divided on, what's his name?
Jake Plummer.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about a different quarterback. I liked Jake Plummer.
They were divided
I didn't like
on Jake
the
Plummer.
Signing of him at first.
They were divided on
but
Jay Cutler,
then
too.
He proved how good of a quarterback.
And they were divided on Jay Cutler, too. Why? Because many could make a case that Jake Plummer's first 3 years with the Broncos were by far better than Bo Nix's first 3 years with the Broncos. Many could argue that Jay Cutler's numbers were much better, I think, maybe. We'd have to go back and look at it, than Bo's. But they didn't like the attitude.
Honestly, I don't care what your attitude is.
I just want
Super Bowl
people
rings.
People are giving Bo the benefit of the doubt because they like him, and I like him too.
They believe in him.
Hell, man, I'm seeing posts all over social media last night on the fact that Bo got together with the offense and they're on a boat ride, and the people are saying, wow, this is amazing. Last team I saw get on a boat ride ended up sucking. That was the Giants. You remember that? Big old viral picture of them all hanging out on the boat with their shirts off and their buddies. I don't care if they're on a boat hanging out. Good for them. It ain't news.
I wish I had T-Pain on there to do his I'm on a boat.
What's T-Pain?
Yeah, it was The Lonely Island and T-Pain.
What's T-Pain?
He's a hippity-hoppity rapper.
Jay Cutler was Philip Rivers. Biatch. See, why would you hate Philip Rivers?
Because he's not a Bronco.
Not everybody's four like you, but you didn't like Philip Rivers because you didn't like he had a little attitude, right? He had some attitude. You didn't like it.
I didn't like him beating the Broncos.
Bo Nix, he's got a sneaky attitude, though. I will say that. He's as nice as he is. He's got a little something there.
He's got some fire in him.
You know, there's a line from Gangs of New York where Daniel Day-Lewis looks at Leonardo DiCaprio's character and he says, oh, you got a murderous rage in you and I like it. I think there's a part of that with Sean Payton and Bo Nix. And as nice as Bo comes across, I think there is that. I want to see more of that. And then maybe we'll see top tier. 45 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Man, it just keeps getting worse for Brendan Sorsby. Thanks, Smitty, for the tip there. But according to ESPN and Pete Thamel, no 2026 supplemental draft. Brendan Sorsby will not play in the NFL. He will not play in the NFL in 2026 as the league has elected to not hold a supplemental draft. Like, they won't even hold it? Is it because nobody wants Sorsby? Or is this a way for the NFL to say, we're not going to do it? The NFL's decision came down to the league's right in the collective bargaining agreement to hold a draft, as league officials felt it would ultimately become a distraction to teams as they begin to start training camp. NFL sources, an NFL source told ESPN his application carries with it a lot of issues. Core of the game integrity issues. NFL.
Think he'll sue?
How can he?
I don't think he could.
This is an NFL rule.
Anyone with a brain thinks he has a case.
And they can obviously not have supplemental drafts if they decide they don't want him.
I mean, because...
This is wild.
Did Roger Goodell call everybody and say, hey, everybody...
No, it could just be... That's the beauty of the NFL, Michael.
Well, I was like, that wouldn't be collusion, because he would just be saying, hey, everybody, are any of you considering picking him? Because if it's not, we don't want to spend money on a supplemental draft.
But that's the beauty of the NFL. They have a guy that can actually make that decision without any breath of collusion. You know, again, we've had collusion talks in the NFL, but you have a guy that runs the show that can say, no, we ain't messing with that. That's not good for our league. We're done. 11:52 the time. We'll take a quick break here. Top stories are coming up at noon. We'll be right back.
Good morning, NOCO has their eyes on the skies this summer. Here, Denver and Front Range Weather's Cody Wilson on the show for the latest local forecast. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, welcome back. We're wrapping up hour number one. Texas is coming all over the place here. Can he sign still as an undrafted free agent? Yeah, he can. He can. Can't he? No?
I think so.
Can he not? I'm not sure. We'll look into it, but it says in ESPN, Pete Thamel says, will not play in the NFL in 2026 as the league is elected not to hold a supplemental draft. So we'll discuss top stories of the day. A lot of trades in the NBA ahead of draft night. We'll get to that next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.